Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Jonathan Grabowski. Today, we have a candidate who's running for the Republican nomination for the 4th Plymouth District, and it's Ed O'Connell. Ed, thanks for coming on the show today.
You're welcome, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So before we start talking about the race, issues of all that, talk to our audience about who is Ed O'Connell.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Charlestown, and I went to Wentworth Institute, where I got a degree in engineering. After that, I went to Suffolk University, got a degree in finance, MBA. And I worked in the private sector for GE and Raytheon in the high-tech industry. After that, I started with the public sector. I started with the state treasurer's department. Okay. And then for the past 25 years, I've been with the state lottery commission. I've held management level positions in accounting, finance, and sales. And that's where I am presently.
Great.
Also, for the past 8 years, I've been a reserve deputy sheriff for Plymouth County. I'm married to my wife, Darlene, and I have two daughters, Amanda and Lindsay, and they both went through the Marshfield Public Schools, and both are college graduates now, unfortunately, because now the bill's stat.
Oh, I can't imagine. you've been really involved in Marshfield for a while, so tell us about your involvement, things that you've done in the Marshfield community.
Well, going back to when the kids were little and going through school, I was volunteer in the various school boards, starting with elementary school. Governor Winslow on the school board, Furnace Brook Middle School. Then I was appointed on a board for Marshfield Scituate Educational Advisory Council with former Rep. Frank Hines, who that was years ago. But we dealt with educational issues, you know, specifically for Marshfield and Scituate. I was on the board for the Friends of the Ventress Library. Also, I was involved with youth soccer, and I was a coach, even though I wasn't that good, but I was a coach, and I was on the board with that as well. And I did serve a term as an elected Plymouth County Charter Commissioner. Yeah. We evaluated Plymouth County government and its viability. Also, I've been a long-term chair of the Marshfield Republican Town Committee.
Great.
Here in town, so.
Fantastic. So let's get to why you're here today. So why are you running and why this seat?
Why am I running? Well, Jonathan, I've always been, you know, passionate about politics, and I've always been civically engaged. I think it's an opportunity for me, you know, to represent and to serve the people of Marshfield and Scituate. I think it's time for a new voice, a new perspective up on Beacon Hill. I think one that's a little more taxpayer friendly, one that, you know, works to lessen regulations, lessen the tax burden on the citizens. Okay. And, you know, for that, I think I'll go forward and move ahead with the citizens and try to make it more taxpayer friendly for Marshfield and Scituate.
Okay. In your words, what's the role of a state representative? What do they do?
Well, they represent. I think the term is perfect. And in that previous question, you said, you know, why are you running? I'm running to represent the citizens of Marshfield and Scituate and their values. And, you know, it's not about me. It's about what they feel the issues are. You know, if it's the higher taxes, if it's, you know, they need more services. They feel like the state is abandoning them. I think what I'll bring to the table is I've worked with Lieutenant Governor Polito. I've worked with Governor Baker over the years in a campaign mode and as a volunteer and on, you know, some of their task force. So I think I'll do well in that respect. I'll have a voice on day one. I'll be able to work closely with them. So I think that's what it's about. It's about representing the people, listening to their concerns, and bringing those issues to Beacon Hill.
You've mentioned working on campaigns, and I know you've worked on several campaigns. So what's it like now being out front? I know you've been behind the scenes a lot. So tell me, it's like going, you know, changing and going to being an out front person.
Well, it's great. Truthfully, as you know, I've been involved going back many cycles in Marshfield, going back to Kerry Haley, I believe. She won in Marshfield and Scituate. And every candidate that I've been a captain for, a coordinator for, has won in our area. So I'm unbeaten in that regard. So, but to be the candidate myself, and I have run before. I've run a county commissioner's race. I got 80, county treasurer's race. I got 85,000 votes countywide. However, being the candidate, it's exciting. It's fun. I find just talking with people and listening to what they have on their minds and what they think I can do for them or what they'd like me to do for them. I love it because I think government is about that. It's about helping and trying to, you know, bring them the services they need.
What do you think is the number one issue that the district is facing? This district is all Marshfield and all of Scituate minus one precinct. What is the big issue that it's facing?
Right. Well, it's all of Marshfield and all of Scituate except Precinct 3, which they call North Minot.
I didn't know which number it was.
But it depends. You know, depending on what area of town you're in, the issues vary. But I think the overriding issue, looking at our storms, the major nor'easters we had back in March, three of them, I would say rebuilding the seawalls and the long-term coastal infrastructure. That's a major issue. I think, you know, traveling down Hummer Rock and along Green Harbor and Brent Rock, you see the progress being made, but there's a lot to do. So as your representative, I'll make sure that, you know, it's done in a timely manner, it's done safely, and it's done on budget. So there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of great work has been done. You know, the DPW, the town administrators have been working, doing a lot of great work. But so I think that's one of the things that would have a lot of my time.
Okay. Jim Cantwell held this seat for about 9.5 years. So we take that as a sign that he was doing a good job, voters liked what he was doing. So what's one thing that, you know, you would carry on from Representative Cantwell and one thing that you might want to change or approach differently?
Well, I think Jim, Representative Cantwell did a fine job with constituent services. He was always there, he was accessible, and he followed through. That's one thing I would carry on in that tradition. I would absolutely be accessible to the voters and to my constituents. I would be committed to them, I would follow through, and I would be there. I'd be there daytime, night, and attend functions and you know, go to events. And just be there if the town needs me, be it Scituate or Marshfield. I live on Webster Street, and but my home phone, my personal phone would be, you know, I would take calls from anyone, any time, day and night, so.
One of the biggest issues that the South Shore is facing, and I'm a former president of the Marshfield Chamber of Commerce, I also do a lot of work with South Shore Chamber. And South Shore did a study a couple years ago called their 2030 project. It looked at infrastructure, transportation, housing, jobs. And the biggest issue that it saw was that the South Shore is an aging population. So how do we work to, I know this is, we can't solve this all today on the show, but how do we work to reverse that trend, get younger people down here, and get more businesses to the South Shore?
That's a big one.
I know it's a huge question, but.
Well, I can't stop Father Time, but I think what you're getting at is how do we keep, you know, Marshfield and Scituate attractive to younger families.
Absolutely.
And attractive to small businesses. And I think just maintaining and improving upon what we already have, what attracted my wife and I to move here over 25 years ago. Yeah. We saw the beautiful beaches, we saw the vibrant business district, we saw a safe community. As a matter of fact, Marshfield was named, I believe, the 14th safest town. Thanks to, you know, Chief Tavares and the proactive approach he takes in the police force, along with Scituate's police force. But we're lucky we have a safe community, we have a vibrant business district, and also a strong school system and open space. So all those things together make for a great community, and we're fortunate we have that. But I think to maintain that and keep you know, attracting new businesses and new families, we have to, you know, promote ourselves, keep our tax rate down. Right now we're paying about $13 per thousand, and that's fairly reasonable considering the services we get, you know, as compared to other surrounding towns. So I would just promote the town and let everyone know that we're open for business and we, you know, be business friendly, pro business climate. And as your representative, I work with the Baker administration and my colleagues in the legislature to, you know, come up with legislation that helps first-time buyers, hopefully, helps the young family, helps small business, you know, conduct business without burdensome regulations.
Okay. Speaking of growing business, how do we grow business, but at the same time protect the consumer, you know?
Well, I think that is a balance there. What we're doing up on our business district on 139, you know, you see where we're moving some businesses there to, you know, protect the citizens from, you know, certain businesses that they may find distasteful, or they may find that they're encroaching.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of balance, you know, working with the small business owners, working with the residents, what their needs are, and what the needs of the town are.
Something you mentioned a few minutes ago was seawalls, coastal, you know, our coastline infrastructure. How do we plan going forward, you know, in regards to, we just had major storms in March. You know, what's the approach we need to take in regards to preserving our coastal infrastructure?
Well, I think the approach has to be take a long-term approach, a proactive approach, because what we've seen and what I've seen already, our town administrator is doing a great job, Mike Maresco, police chief, DPW people, the personnel, Situate also. It's about, you know, really looking creatively and trying to come up with long-term plans. We don't want to do this every year. There's, you know, we're going to have storms every year, and we know the tides are rising. We know there's sea rise. We know there's coastal erosion. There's beach erosion. So I think we're fortunate in that we have a group, an industry of people that are proactive and are looking at barriers out, a mile out to, you know, to break the ocean. You know, better quality seawalls, higher seawalls, building coastal property in a different way, you know, higher. I'd reach out to professionals in the industry like Joe Rossi and find out what needs to be done to, you know, to stop these losses every year.
So we have to become more
civil engineers.
So we it's more being more about being proactive.
Proactive and being smarter. You know, it's not 100 years ago when these were built and, you know, times change. And I think, you know, the storms are going to continue, obviously, every winter. But I think if we, you know, attack this now as a group, and I've seen a lot of good work going on.
Okay. School safety is a topic that's been, you know, recently in the news. Not only do our students, you know, education is important, but how do we make sure our schools are safe?
Well, that's a paramount issue, obviously. And again, as a deputy sheriff, I've trained in active shooter scenarios, so I know how important it is. There's nothing more important than our children and the teacher safety in our schools. So, you know, school shooter scenarios, it's about practice and training and being prepared. And so what I'd like to see is, you know, and what's been going on is, unfortunately, training in this regard. You know, in the event of the unimaginable happens, what, you know, what do the kids do? What do the teachers do? I don't believe they should be shields for the kids. Their job is to teach, right? So if we can make the school building more secure, you know, make smarter technology with facial recognition, better cameras, you know, and better evaluation of the students that we think may be at risk, may be, you know, on that edge of possibly doing something harmful. So I think, again, a proactive approach, which, again, our law enforcement and our school administrators are already doing that. So I'm right on that.
Probably the one issue that everyone talks about, I think no matter what race it is the opioid crisis. And I think everyone's dealing with this, no matter if they're on the South Shore, in the western part of the state, wherever. What do we need to do? Do we need to do more, you know, working on the prevention side? Do we need to be working more, you know, the downstream side of, you know, trying to find treatment for people? How do we try to tackle this issue?
Well, it is. It's a huge issue, and that's what I find going out and talking with people, just asking what the issues are, and that inevitably is number one or two, and they say, what can we do about this, the scourge of drugs in our community? And I think it's a mix of what you just stated. I think it's a mix of, you know, compassionate, preventative programs, you know, and training for our first responders. As a deputy sheriff, I'm trained in Narcan, so I've unfortunately seen it used and how it's used. But I think what we need to do is also balance that with the law enforcement side. DA Cruz and Sheriff McDonald are working, they're both members of Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, which is doing great work. So they emphasize not only on prevention and treatment, but on, you know, on the law enforcement end for the dealers of fentanyl and car fentanyl. Right. This is awful stuff, and they should be locked up. Okay. And we should, you know, protect our children from that. So I think it's a mixture of that and also training for our first responders and law enforcement.
One of the things that you mentioned was, you know, going on a different subject here, is that this area, Scituate Marshall, is fairly affordable. You know, it's affordable for people to, you know, get a nice home, have a good job. How do we continue to have that high quality of life? What, how do we continue to make sure it doesn't change?
Well, I think, again, that's what attracted my wife and I when we came down here, slightly lower affordable cost of homes. Mm-hmm. We had some land. We had our own parking spot, which is big. But yeah. I think what you have to do is just, again, you know, maintain your budgets, keep the cost of taxes down, and just try to promote the town so that it's people see it, they come here, and they want to live here, they want to raise a family. I think we can do that, you know, working together as, you know, both on the financial side and up at the State House.
This seat's been held by, I think, Democrats as long as I can remember, or a Democrat has held the seat. What does you as a Republican, what do you bring to the table in regards to, you know, maybe a different view in regards to in representing the district?
Well, it's a good question. You're right. I think it's almost 50 years. Was it Phil Johnson held it first?
Phil Johnson.
8 years, and then it was Frank Hines, 26 years. Now Jim Cantwell. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I bring to the table is a different perspective. I think I'm more fiscally conservative, mm-hmm. you know, more effective government, more efficient government. I'll be able to work with Governor Baker, mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor Polito on day one. We've worked together, so I'd like to work with my colleagues in the House, mm-hmm. my Republican colleagues, as well as my Democratic colleagues, and, you know, put together some legislation that affects everyday residents, the blue-collar worker, mm-hmm. people that, you know, things that affect the quality of life. And I think that's where I can have a more independent voice, mm-hmm. because I won't be beholden to, you know, a powerful speaker, that right. I have to vote a certain way on certain things. I think I'll be able to vote more proactively, more in favor with the citizens of Marshfield and Scituate.
It's very funny because the legislature is very Democrat, whereas we have a Republican governor.
Correct.
Do you think, you know, being a Republican will, you know, would be beneficial district because then you almost have a kind of a direct line to the governor?
Absolutely. I mean, again, it is lopsided. There's about 26 out of 160 right. mm-hmm. Republicans in the House. So I think there's room for some new voices, mm-hmm. some debate on these bills that just get passed like that. Mm-hmm. And these bills that are passed with a voice vote or with a quick vote of the majority, they affect our lives. And anything I can do to try to save a dollar or so for the taxpayer, blue collar, a family of four who, you know, may not need that extra tax increase that the Democrats are planning. I think I'll bring a new perspective, a new voice, and I will work closely with the governor and the lieutenant governor.
Now, I know you've been out campaigning, you know, been around the district. What are some things that you're hearing from people as you've gone around?
Well, it's funny. Everything from, you know, save the world to what can you do for to widen Route 3, make my commute easier.
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy. You know, the simple things, the roads down in Scituate, overdevelopment, the changing dynamic of the town in Scituate. Some people had concerns about that. Quality of drinking water. It's just an issue of, you know, old pipes. It's not, you know, town-wide, but it's an issue a few people brought up. Of course, high taxes always comes up. But again, along the seawalls, yeah, the safety of the work in process. The work is going on. There's a lot of progress being made. But there are some issues about signage and access and mm-hmm. safety. So, you know, I'll stay on top of that. Okay. I hear questions about, of course, opioids and what you can do about that. But the refreshing thing I find is when I ask, do you have any issues? Are there any problems you'd like me to try to address? They say, no, everything's great. So we're fortunate that we live in these two communities. And mm-hmm. I feel I'd be honored to represent Marshfield and Scituate in the 4th Plymouth District.
Has there been one kind of person you met or situation that's really stuck out to you so far? I know it's kind of early in the campaign process.
It is early. I mean, I found just the door knocking process is one of those things you got to get used to. And I'll wear out four pairs of shoes, you know. But no, it's been fun just going up, meeting new people, you know, new faces, and getting involved. It's a lot of fun, and it is refreshing to see that people respond to you when you're just civically engaged, and they start talking, and once they get going, you could be there for half an hour, half an hour.
Great. We're going to wrap up some fun questions here. We try to wrap up some fun stuff. So what's one thing about you that people don't know that they may find interesting?
Okay. Well, I've actually had a few bit parts in some feature films, and one coming up is that you might hear about, Equalizer 2.
Okay.
Coming up in July. That was filmed right down here in Brent Rock. And it's starring none other than
Denzel Washington
and our own chief of police.
Chief Tavares,
Phil Tavares. So you may see me in a scene or two.
Really?
But I don't want to jinx it, because usually you end up on the cutting room floor.
That's interesting.
But that's it.
Okay. If we were to take your iPod, your iPhone, whatever device you use to listen to music, what would we find on it?
Steven Tyler and Aerosmith, of course. Steven Tyler being Marshfield's own super rock hero.
Okay.
Of course, a little Beatles, and maybe even some Dropkick Murphys.
All right.
Ken Casey.
All right. If someone wants to find out more about you, where are some places they can go, like websites, Facebook?
Okay, well, let's see. I have to go to my cheat sheet here.
That's fine.
The website, edoconnell4rep.com, the number four.
Number four.
The Twitter, I'm Twittering now, or tweeting, so... at O'Connell4Rep.
Okay.
Facebook, at O'Connell4Rep. And also Instagram.
Wow.
At O'Connell4Rep.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Are you running all those social media accounts, or?
I'm trying. My daughter is teaching me, you know. So if you get something that's backwards, or the picture is in black and white instead of color, that's me. You know I posted it. Or it's upside down.
Okay. And the one last question we have today is, why are you the best candidate for this position?
Well, I think I'm the best candidate for this position because I'm experienced. I have over 30 years of private and public sector experience working in the high-tech industry with GE and Raytheon, working in state government as a finance and accounting candidate. I've handled large budgets, millions of dollars, billions of dollars for the state lottery. So, you know, I know figures, I know finance. Also, as a deputy sheriff in Plymouth County, I've been involved in the communities. I've worked at the Emergency Operations Center. I've helped seniors out of the house when they've lost power, you know, with 3 feet of snow outside. I've helped down at the seawalls when the breach was occurring during the ice storm 5 years ago. Myself and a few others were transporting the elderly in National Guard trucks, you know, to keep them warm up at the warming facilities at the senior center. So, and I've also, you know, volunteered. I'm on the safety LOJAC search team. So if a child goes missing, on elderly goes missing due to dementia or some other ailment, we find them. And so I'm on call for that. And I know Scituate and I know Marshfield, and I'd be proud and honored to serve as your representative.
Great. Well, Ed, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Well,
thank you.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jonathan. Great.
And that's all the time we have to meet the candidates. And until next time, make it a great day.